Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 354, Being Present. Got that title from Scotty McHotty. Thank you. During our chats, I shared a couple out-of-body moments, and one was connected to him. And he says, well, it just sounds like you're really being present. And it was like, wow, that's it exactly. That's the fruits right there. So I wanted to give a little shout out. Thank you for the title. And just for being him. And for how much I learn in the lab when I'm training Senior Mosier. But it was a good week. And just, I like my life, I like what's happening, and I just feel blessed, and I'm just filled with gratitude, and part of what I share is another client has joined Team Dieters, and it was not about the money at all. This is just a super, super fulfilling moment, and again, involves Scott. Pretty positive. I made Scott happy and proud, so my cup runneth over. So that's what I share. And then I made a note. Tom writes a letter. 55-year-old Tom writes a letter to 15-year-old Tom. I just wrote that note, and I made reference about that. I think he wrote a poem about that. And I don't know what exactly it was, but I just wrote that down and nothing else after. So recording the podcast and I get to it and I go, well, here we go. And I start just coming up with this letter on the spot, impromptu. And I go, okay, let's first imagine 15-year-old Tom. And I just lost it. Like I could just feel what he felt. And then I thought about what he's got to go through. And I felt him not having anyone to turn to. So it became a lot harder. And like I said, I didn't write like, oh, hey, when you get here, you know, come up with this letter. I just thought, oh, hey, it would be a great idea for everybody. You know, kind of like a homework assignment to the listeners. And I just went into it. So I just got a little bit more emotional than I had planned because I didn't really have anything emotional that I was going to talk about except the last thing. And it's the two things that I say to Zen. I've never really shared this. And I thought, well, I could quite possibly become choked up when I talk about this because I talk about Zen and how I feel. It gets pretty intense. But didn't have the letter to 15-year-old Tom planned at all. So have in mind that I struggle a little bit, but just thankful, just crazy, crazy thankful for this time of my life, for the people in my life, for my clients, for Scotty, for Zen, just for everything. So if you're listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I pray, I hope, I wish something that I share resonates with you, affects your perspective, gives you a little bit of clarity so you can just keep becoming the best you. Enjoy. Some quotes. There's a sacred energy guiding you. That's why lately you've been distancing yourself from who and what no longer serves you and or lowers your vibration. Instead, you've begun attracting and manifesting who and what does serve you, elevate you, nourish you, and to inspire you to vibrate higher daily. This one might sound familiar. I wrote it. If one controls the space between their ears, they control everything. If one does not control the space between their ears, they control nothing. Realize deeply that the present moment is all you ever have. Eckhart Tolle, my boy. When the world seems dark, I remind myself that Mr. Rogers once got a letter from a blind girl who wrote that she heard him say he owned fish, but she worried that they weren't being fed. So at the end of every following show, he'd narrate, "I'm feeding the fish just for her." I actually remember him doing that. No idea why. Love that dude. The moment you start watching your thoughts, a higher level of consciousness becomes activated. You must learn to end the wars in your world by ending them in your mind. So there's that. So, being present is something I've been experiencing, chatting about, sharing. And it was kind of a cool thing because, you know, as I look back, it was like, well, that's another level, but it was unfamiliar to me, so I didn't recognize what that was, because really, it was a fruit of being present. It was a reward. It was a gift. I had kind of two, what I kind of jokingly said, kind of out of body experiences, where I just felt kind of something take over and I just let go in the moment. And I was like, all right. So the first, which was just put an exclamation point on it yesterday, was just one of the greatest moments. I got commissioned to build a cross. And I just love, I mean, it sounds weird, like, okay, you get paid, but then it's like, you know, the person wants you and your ability to make them something. And it just, I don't know, it inspires me. It's just a cool thing. And then this woman wanted a cross, which I really like making. And I thought about it for a second. This is a really weird tangent, but I was like, you know, why do I like crosses? And I, you know, and when she was first mentioned it, we were texting, and I went and out and looked at it. I was going to go out and look at her yard. In my mind, I'm like, well, I don't want it stuck in the ground like a grave marker. I mean, that's when I think of cross, I don't go, oh, yay, those grave markers. You know, and of course, there's the, you know, religious image of Jesus, you know, on the cross. But just the shape, just the cross, just the two pieces of wood or whatever, really old ornate metal crosses. I mean, just like crosses. But I thought about it, like, you can take two pieces of wood and cross them and go, oh, that's a cross. You can just take two pieces of whatever, your two fingers, what's that? Cross. And I go, there's kind of a power in that. I mean, you really can't do that with, I couldn't come up with any other thing that I'm like, okay, I have two sticks, cross them, cross. I have two straws, cross them, cross. You know, what could you make with those two items so quickly and be so recognizable? So there's a power in the image, and I can't see any bad. Like, I know there's people that wouldn't want a cross because they're not Catholic or whatever, or they just see it for, you know, whatever it was. But I mean, to me, when I just like them. I've made, this is my fourth cross that I made. I made a really big 6-footer for a church. That I made one for my sister Tammy, who passed away. Stuck it in the beach, took a picture of it, and then ended up hanging it on my wall. And I got roses from her funeral, and I hung them on. And, you know, they dried out, but they're still there, and they still look super, super dope. And then I recently saw, well, not recently, it was probably a year or so ago, I saw a cool one, a cross online made out of multiple pieces of wood. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to copy that. And I, you know, made it, put it up for sale. And if it would have sold, I would have, you know, sent it, but it hasn't. So I got it hanging up. So when it was like a cross, like, okay, cool. I was all fired up, just like, because I knew I was going to make this. Oh, that's a cool cross. Not, oh, that's that religious thing. Oh, that's like a, you know, marking a gravesite. I knew that wasn't going to happen. So the coolest part about this is how I met Sean. She belongs to the hospice group that I spoke at. And that happened because I met a dude named Jim on the beach when I was balancing stones. So just because Sean bought a framed print of mine and one of my found art driftwood little stones. Faith stone things that I make. And she bought two of those, I don't know, a while ago. So I kind of had already known her, and a few of the people from the hospice we ended up becoming, you know, friends on Facebook. And so there's like, I don't know, maybe like four or five of them that I kind of regularly, you know, see, and they like my posts and they follow stuff. So it's like, you know, you kind of start bonding with them. But then, she, you know, again, Sean bought this and I drove out and we had a really kind of big talk, you know, and she had gone through a lot, and she showed me this big, huge, rusty iron ball from a ship in her front yard. It was just amazing. But I mean, it was just kind of a cool moment, you know, brought her, you know, on my way to Rincon, which is super cool. Just dropped off, met her, gave her two pieces. Oh, and the glass, first time ever I shipped something and the glass broke. So I had to go back out, re-deliver it. And, you know, again, so there's just a little bit of bonding there. So I was delighted and honored to be asked. So Zen and I headed out. And we were just going to, you know, check out her yard, see what she was, you know, looking, thinking, you know, where about or whatever. And so we found the spot relatively quickly, but I was just so fired up because, you know, she was kind of like undoing her yard. Like it had overgrown and gotten away, and she's kind of like clearing out her life, her yard. All of it's happening kind of now. And so I just saw all this potential. Like, wow, if I had 1/5 her yard, I would be stoked. And over in the corner, there's this like rock bedded fountain, riverbed. And I go, does this work? And she goes, yeah, I used to have koi in it. And I'm like, you have a koi pond? And I'm like, if you got this thing, because there's like these trees around it, it was shady, like, you got this going. And then she had a little planted area, and it was, you know, it was just like that, to me, blank canvas, which was just all good, nothing but potential. So I'm like, okay, we're going to go about 2.5 feet, we're going to put the cross here, okay. And as, I don't know what it was, but I just kind of walked around the side of her house. And there was this area where there was all this stuff stacked up. Some sheet metal, some big wooden posts. And I go back in the very corner and I see this piece of wood. I pull it out and I go, what's with this? And she goes, I didn't even know it was there. And it's in my head, I'm thinking, okay, cross, I just want old wood. I just want the sand and stain old wood. It just looks better than anything new. And I, you know, I kind of wanted this, not square, just a little bit more rectangle, like a 3x4. Boom, there's an old piece of 3x4 wood. I'm like, you know, here's your cross. And I pull it out, and then all of a sudden I see these big, like wooden headboards, like it's a kind of the shape of a square, but they're posts, like, you know, one's for the front, oh, another one's, you know, for the both ends of the bed. I go, wouldn't this be cool if we stuck this over in the garden area? She's like, well, yeah. I go, I'll just move it now. And that was the beginning. And an hour and a half later, cleaning off my feet, cleaning off my hands. Like, I went to town. I just started finding this old, cool, rusty stuff, spraying it off, pulling it out, decorating the yard. Found 5 surfboards stacked up. I'm like, oh, my God. Started spraying them off. And surfboards are like artwork. I mean, like, artists are making these things. And these boards were relatively new. Like, they weren't beaten up. A little TLC, and you could make them look super dope. And she had, I don't know, a couple X's, whatever, but they were like big dudes because these were like huge, huge boards. I'm like, what if we stack these up? And I stacked them up against the wall. And she goes, oh, my God, I love it. And this one was like orange and yellow and just these fire colors. And there's this area where the pump from the koi pond area was just this white tube with this blue thing. And it's like, well, let's put the surfboard. So you cover it up with this cool surfboard. And we kind of decorated the area around where the cross would go. And we stepped back and it's like we had just started like this transformation. And you could just tell she was fired up and she loved what I did. And I'm like, okay, bye. And grabbed the piece of wood. Me and Zen headed out. And in the car, I'm like, I'm seeing the cross now. I'm like, I got to put black metal on it. And it was so cool because as I left, I said, I didn't say this to her, but it was just like I went to someone's yard and I just, it was like a dog and I just peed all over the yard. Mine. Because I asked her, I said, you know, wouldn't this look cool over there? But then the rest of it, I just went to town and she just kind of got out of the way. And I said, Sean, I want you to know I don't normally do that. And I never would have done it had I knew you were, you know, giving me a thumbs up. I mean, there's, you know, I would apologize now had I not known that you were in. And she's like, oh, no, thank you. It was just this wonderful thing. And I asked her how much, you know, she's willing to spend on the cross. She was no more than, you know, this much. I said, perfect, cool. I got an amount. That's great. Fantastic. I didn't even care. I knew what I was going to make, whether she said A, B, or C. She was probably going to get the same deal. But I was really comfortable with what she gave me. But what I just did for that hour and a half, I just did. I wasn't trying to prove anything. I wasn't because I was bored or lonely, looking for a friend. It was just, I don't know, it was like that Mr. Chu, that old Asian professor when I lived in Beverly Hills that passed away and ended up cleaning her apartment. Like, I didn't really, like, spend a whole lot of time thinking about that. They took him away and I'm like, I'll just clean. And everybody else left because they couldn't stand the smell. But I just started doing stuff and I knew she was cool. So I knew I was getting that, and I'm like, and it was just very kind of in the moment. But there was no dialogue like, Tom, do this, or you should, or there was no questions, there was no judgment. It was just like this, like a fire was lit. And by the time I got home, I was like, I had made the thing in my head. And the only little problem is I don't have, like, a lot of tools. So the things I make are made only by hand. And the thing I used in the past was a chop saw. Big round blade, grab the handle, pull it straight down, boom, boom. So I could cut a piece of wood in half. I could cut angles for frames. And I kept it at a client's house for like 4 years, 5 years. So when I was using it, I'd go over there, cut some stuff, cut some driftwood, whatever, and that was it. You know, always do it after like 9 a.m. and, you know, I'd do it for like 15, 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour tops, and that was it. So it was never a problem, and it was a great thing. Well, now I don't have that place. That dude moved. So I kept it in the Zen garden. And I thought, well, you know, I got this. I got to cut it. So I was thinking, I'm just going to try cutting it inside the Zen garden. I'll get a big piece of plastic, and I'll make it like a tent. And, you know, all I ended up doing was putting a little towel over the saw where you hold your hand, and I just did the first cut, and I went up and down. It just barely made any sawdust, and it made like 1/10 the noise I thought it was going to make. It just seemed like it was louder outside, and I just didn't want to, you know, bug the neighbors or anything. But again, I was making 6 cuts, so boom, 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 boom. I got it done. I was like, wow, and then I kind of pieced it together. I'm like, well, I should glue it, and then everything was like, well, that worked. I should. So I started pulling out like the metal that I kind of wanted to use. And I had like the perfect amount. It was all kind of, there was this one metal circle I have. It's just a circle made of metal that I bought at some metal store, you know, when I was walking around. Just the kind of stuff I would pick up and go, that'll be cool on something one day. So I had these round tacks. So I put those on. And on the ends of the, like the lateral part of the cross, there was these circle pieces that I put on. So there was like this circle kind of repetition going on, and it was all the same, you know, old wood just stained beautifully, and then these beautifully black just accents just popped. And I got done. I was like, I should keep it. And that's like the biggest compliment to myself when I like something. I'm like, I literally was like, okay, I could just make another one. I go, I don't have any room. I do not have a room for something like this. You know, it's just like this kind of big statement piece and it needs, you know, room. So it was just this thing where I loved what I made. And I was thinking it was like a Sunday or Monday. And I thought, well, maybe this week, you know, like Thursday, I'll be done and deliver to her. I got done with it on Monday. And I said, hey, you know, text Sean, says, hey, I'll come by Tuesday, you around, I'll drop it off. And it was kind of this great day because I got up Tuesday morning, which was yesterday, and I was going to record the podcast. And it sounds weird, but sometimes I'm just not right in the mood, in the right mood. You know, I don't feel settled or I don't feel ground. I don't know what it is. So I kind of like procrastinate a little bit. So I had a client at 8. I'm like, okay, you know, Zen's done. This is done. Boom. You got 7 to 8. And next thing it's 7:15. Next thing it's 7:30. And I'm like, well, there goes that. Client calls, cancels. So cool. 8 to 9. And I have Mosier at 10. And he sometimes goes early. So it's like, well, I can do the podcast and then I can walk Zen and then, you know, see if Scott wants to go earlier at 10. Well, it's 7:45, it's 8, it's 8:15, and now it's about 8:30, and I'm like, okay, I'm literally going to start recording. Like, I'm set, got calmed down, whatever I needed to kind of do to just get, like, okay, focused, ready, and I was antsy or whatever it was, and Scott texts me. And he always just goes, Tom, with an exclamation point. So I go, Scott, with an exclamation point. That's what we do every time. And then I'm waiting, because I was literally going to just, you know, turn my phone off and, you know, start recording. So I text him. I go, hey, what's up? I'm just going to start recording. He's like, no big deal. See you at 10. I said, no. And I'm like, I can train you now. Like, it was just, I didn't want to, like, start the podcast for whatever reason. So he's like, okay, cool, let's train now. So it turned out great because he shared some things that I'm going to share. And then after that, I was going to the beach to deliver the cross. So I get both of these moments to now add to this episode. So I'm kind of glad, you know, that I waited, you know, because like I said, it was just a positive, you know, some more positive stuff that I could add. So that was kind of the first out of body where I'm like, this thing kind of took over. So I shared before Mosier had kind of explained the three acts of his movie with some pictures, you know, shared his screen and, you know, him verbalizing his story. It was just the dopest thing in the world. Well, we get chatting and, you know, titles. I've done 353 titles for my podcast episodes and every one I thought of. You know, thought about it. It was a big deal. So one day we were talking and he said something about the title and he said something. I go, no, I get it. And I was like, you know, this is Scott's baby and it's got to be this. And it's this. And it was a Friday. And from that Friday morning till Sunday, I just didn't stop trying to find. And not like I'm going to find a title for the movie. I'm just going to find a title. And maybe Scott will like it, but I'm going to find a title. And again, I didn't sit down. I didn't write it down. I just was like, this thing just kind of took over. But it was really like, not obsessed is a kind of a hard word. Just very passionate. You know, I started making these. I won't go into everything I did, but I just kind of went into it hardcore. So I'm talking to Mosher Tuesday morning. We're working out. And I would say, yeah, you know, I'm pretty stoked. I actually showed him the cross. And I said, I'm going to, you know, bring it to Sean's house today. And I told him about the out-of-body experience in her yard. I said, it was really similar to the title weekend. I said, for those 3 days where I was just so focused. And it was just such a cool moment because this is why I love Scotty. And he goes, well, you're obviously being present. It was just like this light bulb, this bell went ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, no, that's exactly what it is. It's like this huge reward of being present. But I think it's like, you know, the more you do things, the better you get at it. Like the more you're in the moment, the better you're being at in the moment. And the more you're present, the more you practice being present, the better you are at being present. So you can kind of maximize You know, because if I start, well, I shouldn't do this, or maybe Sean's busy, or hey, I got to go to the beach, or hey, I got to get to Zen, or just, I mean, Zen was with me, but I'm just saying there was nothing. Like, I would have to have made up something or decided, okay, I'll feel something for it to have changed, but nothing was going to come in because there was nothing I needed to do, nowhere I needed to be, no one needed me. And I could just be me. You know, 3 days searching for the title. Zen was with me. You know, I mean, it was like all good. There was no, I was not, you know, cutting something out of my life to do these things. But it was like this thing where it's like, why didn't I go, oh, wow, I'm so, this is maximum present. Because it was like this, I was like, dude, it was weird. Like this thing took over and I kind of stepped back and I was watching it going, dude, you see what you're doing in that yard there? And that lady's looking at you with those big eyes. I was just in it. I was just in it going, I can do this. And I did come up with a title that Scotty liked. But it's a whole long story with the with the marketing and the place he's working with and all that. So it's a crazy, crazy thing. But my goal was definitely accomplished. But it was cool sitting back and going, here were two really great moments that I got lost in. And the only way you can really get lost is if you're completely present, willing, able, capable of just letting go and getting lost in that moment. But it was so fulfilling. So that's when I said, well, there's the title. And then I went out after my fantastic conversation with Scotty, and I delivered the cross. If you follow on social media, I posted it on Facebook and my Instagram, but a little video, there's a little clip of me when I'm moving I just moved the big wooden headboard thingy, and then I, you know, the making of the cross all the way to the reveal. I show her, I got recorded her face as I revealed the cross to her, and then we put the cross in, and that night, you know, she had got lights for the wooden thing that we put in the thing, and she had her fire pit going, and there was a shadow on the cross, and she sent me this pic. And it was just like, I partook in that. Like, that was, I was a part of that. Like, I just loved it. I just loved it, loved it, loved it. And then it gets better. This is pretty cool. I'm a thinker. So last episode, when I said that person said they were worried, I go, they didn't just for a second go, oh, hey, I'm worried, I'm going to text message Tom. It's like that, and they thought about it for a while. Who knows how long, way too long. So this in the moment happened, and no one said anything, but I could tell some thoughts that were passed along in feelings, and it filled my cup. So Scotty texted me, and he said, would you be willing to train him and his wife on Saturday? I was like, yeah, of course. So we just, you know, kind of went over the time, and he didn't say anything, like, you know, she's thinking about doing it or nothing at all. And I said, you know, we train him, you know, in his office, and he goes, you know, where the bands are, and he goes, no, just be out, you know, just mats. I'm like, okay, cool, you know, no worries at all. But then I'm like, you know, no, just bring some bands, I got some ideas. So I did some things with them where one was holding the bands and balancing, and the other one was working back and forth, and I had met Alex a couple times, his wife, but it was like, now I was in their living room. You know, it's like this really, like with the Morrisons, when I started, you know, teaching them class, like, well, there I am in their living room, and there's their family, and I'm in their house, and I'm teaching them. It was like this, again, this amazing thing that's happening that I didn't really experience before because of pandemic. Is it good or is it bad? We shall see. So in the moment, I mean, I was all fired up. They just got to train them. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, if it's one deal, I'm just fired up, whatever. But in my, you know, kind of deep in my heart is like, well, I want to make Scotty happy and proud. That's like kind of just what I want to do. And while we're doing it, it's just going great. And I'm just watching them. And it's like, they just go together. There's this great couple, but I've never really seen him, you know, kind of be a husband. Like when he would explain things to her, and he was just patient, he was kind, it's like made me love him even more. But it was just like, look what I get to do. And I'm like, he brought me deeper into his world, like deeper into his life, like deeper into his house. And again, the thoughts had to be, hey, you want to work out with Tom? It was like, not really liking the workouts with Tom. You should do them. You know, it's got to be, hey, I'm really liking these workouts. You should do them. I think you'd like them. Had to be. So we get done and, you know, thank you, thank you. And I text him. I don't know what I said something like, hey, that was great. Hope Alex liked it or whatever, something like that. And he texted back, he said, well, how about next Saturday? And it was just like that, like, well, there's another client. And I was like, but what filled me up was like, well, now I know I did good. You know, she wouldn't have said, you know, I don't want to do it, I didn't like it, but let's do next Saturday. She had to say, I like that, let's do it again. And if she, when she said that, how'd that make Scotty feel? Hey, my wife likes that. My wife enjoyed that. It's got to make Scott feel good. It's like, I just, like, I won. You know, it's like I made him happy. I made him proud. I helped his wife. That filled him up and got another client. And I was like, wow. Like, I just, again, I said this to someone yesterday, and I said, my story is an example. Because I've been going, you know, hey, I'm not trying to toot my horn and blah, blah, blah. Listen to the last 5 years. You know, I haven't had that much good stuff to share, and, but I've shared the bad, so I'm going to share the good. And if I was writing in a journal, this is exactly what I would share, and that's exactly the truth. But when I was talking to a client yesterday, I said, you know, I'm going to tell you this. And I said, I just want you to know it's an example. And I said it to Sean when I was in her yard. I said, I've been through some stuff. Like some really not fun, scary, alone, yucky stuff. And if I can get through that, and I can get to a place where I'm having these magical moments and being present, so I completely maximize those moments and the benefits and the rewards from those. And I've always said, you attract that which you are. So people obviously feel that around me. It's like, if you're bummed out, pissed off, depressed, there's energy. People probably don't want you in their living room. People probably don't want to be around you. People probably don't want you in their backyard. But if you're allowing your light to shine, people just like that. And then simultaneously it gives them permission. Let your light shine. I don't think I had a light 5 years ago, 7 years ago. I had a light. Let me rephrase that. I wasn't letting it shine. I didn't know how to. So now when I'm going, hey, don't mean to be tooting my horn, I'm just sharing. I mean, that's me. Here's my light. Here's the good. You listen, last 5 years, my choices, my mindset, what I've done, deemed myself worthy, and here I am, fruits of that labor. breadcrumbs galore, breadcrumbs galore, breadcrumbs galore. Like, I'm going to keep doing everything I'm doing because I love what I'm getting. So there's this couple on the news that was separated because of the COVID. I think she got sick. And I think they're old, like I want to say 90 something, and I think they were together close to 80 years. Like, it was a crazy story, one of those. But watching those two reunite, like they were both in wheelchairs, and they just grabbed each other's hands, and then they helped the woman up, and they got them to where they could hug. And they started kissing each other. And they started saying, "You're so beautiful." It was the most moving thing I'd ever seen. It was just, and I was like, wow. I dig my world. I dig being alone. Like, I've never been this good. But I was like, could you imagine? I'd like being that in love that long. With the same person. I don't like to use the word, you know, jealous or envious. But it was just a moment where I was like, man, if you got to pick. I mean, I really think that's what I always kind of thought. Well, you just, you know, my mom and dad got married and everyone else get married and I'll get married and you stay married. Until you realize how hard it is and difficult it is. But man, to see that, you know, and then, you know, people pass on and, you know, just so many things. So to be together that long and that old, and they had never been apart. Like, probably not even like a couple days. And here they were, I think it was like 2 months. And I was like, oh, it like broke my heart and filled my heart all at the same time. Welcome to being an empath. So I just wrote this down, and I didn't do it. And I thought, well, maybe it'd be a good homework assignment for everybody listening. And it's definitely in my head, which was the point. Describe the 55-year-old Tom to the 15-year-old Tom. And I made similar references before. If you just, like, just described, it's like, okay, you get this picture of me at 15, probably right around the real scary part. Like, I was just, you know, my father's physical stuff was more when I was a kid. It was just more the mental, emotional, verbal stuff as I became a teenager. So again, just, you know, not a lot of comfortableness, not a lot of confidence, and started going to school and kind of felt, you know, even, you know, worse because, you know, again, just some people just didn't like me for whatever reason and, you know, would try to bully me or whatever, and that didn't always work because I could fight. So again, it just wasn't comfortable. But if I think about that dude, I go, all right, here you go. Like Morrison's, you know, the family. Ben is 15. And that, well, the family is phenomenal. And the family is just getting better. But I've known, you know, the parents and the daughter, Mary, who is a bundle of joy. Mary, love her. But it's just Ben I've recently become familiar with because of the class I teach their family. But it's like he's 15. I didn't even think about that till right now, but I'm like, yeah, that's the age. If I look back at me, I mean, that's when I went, wow, Ben. Because I was frightened and, you know, just it's sad. You know, it's sad when I look back and think of that because, you know, Ben, I go, come here, I want to talk to you. And he comes up and I go, dude, you're tall, you're handsome, you got great hair. He's super talented and creative. He's got this. He was getting this musical award right before the class started from a teacher that had to drive it to him because of the quarantine. And he's just, and now he's working out and he's understanding and his body's changing and he's all fired up. And I'm like, okay, if I wrote. Because when I, you know, when I see someone like Ben at 15, it just immediately makes me think of me. And that's why I'm like, wow, that's sad. That's sad. Parents play a big role, FYI. Tip of the hat to Chris and Mandy. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Well done. So if I sit down and I write this, I pen a letter and I mail it to myself. Back in the day, and I opened this letter at 15. 15-year-old Tom opens it up and says, "Dear Tom, this is 55-year-old you. I just wanted to share a few things with you." That's just crazy, because I can just think of something and immediately feel it. Like, I was just going to ramble right there, and then I just really felt, you know, those words being read by myself. Being an empath is like working out all the time. I know how you feel, and I know what you're going through, because I'm you. But I'm 55, and I got one chance to write a letter to you just to let you know a few things. It's a long, tough road, and you're going to go through more stuff, but you're going to get through it all. It's not going to feel real good, but you're going to get stronger. And the stronger you get, the more you're going to be tested. And it's not your fault. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just supposed to be a certain version of yourself. So the more you climb, the more you fight, the stronger you get, the bigger tests you can conquer. So at 55, you're living in Hollywood. And your best friend is your dog named Zen. And you go to the beach 2 or 3 times a week. And your dog's healthy and you're healthy. And you balance stones and you make art. And you love your life and you're at peace. And you're comfortable. More comfortable than you've ever been. And you're confident. You're confident in everything you say and do. And you have conviction. You have conviction so much that you're helping other people out. People are paying you to help them navigate their paths because of what you built by growing through what you went through. So all you gotta do, not give up. Don't quit. That was completely unplanned. Oh, man. So the thing Mosier shared with me is right along, which is just, it's just funny. Like you kind of like tune your frequency a little higher and you tune into like different things and they just, you could recognize them right away. So Moshe goes, yesterday I celebrated my 18,000th day. I was like, what are you talking about? And I go, you know, because his birthday is in March, close to mine. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, there's this app. And he starts talking about this thing. He's about a year ago. He goes, I've been journaling. He goes, I journal every day. And so I write down day 17,987. So many days I've been alive. And my mind just went, wow, I love that. And he talked about, but I got this whole impression right away, but how he talked about it was, it was like, well, now the days are important. I'm like, yeah. He goes, each day matters. And I'm like, yeah. And I go, and I said, I remember like a year ago saying, I'm not really having like, you know, Tuesday was this day or Sunday was this day or the weekend. It's like all my days are the same. I don't really have like Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I said, I just kind of collect moments. And this was kind of along that same train of thought, I thought. And I liked it. I'm like, I just, but when he said, he goes, it just makes every day count. Because you've had a Wednesday before. You've had Thursdays before. You've had June 17th before. But you're only going to have one day 18,000. And I was just like, I'm done. I'm switching. I go, you know what I'm going to do? And we're online. So I reach down to my drawer and I have my journals. And I pull out the last one and it's half done. I go, I'm going to start journaling again. And I'm like, I just journaled when I was suffering. And it was just, I thought it was a good thing to do. And then as I started, you know, getting things out, I thought, well, you know, talking to a therapist, journaling, having a podcast, that's all helpful and healing. Hey, if you're not doing, you know, something, at least journal and get that stuff out. But I was like, I'm healed. I don't need to journal. But I thought, well, just journal good then. You never journaled. You know, it was, and I started looking through some of them. I'm like, oh, I don't even want to read any of the old journals. But I thought, yeah. So Scott goes, do you want me to figure out what day you are? And I go, of course. So as of today, as I record this, and it is, what do we got here? We got June 17th. And this will come out the following week. I am at day 20,173. And Scott's like, you missed your 20,000th day. And I'm like, I'm huge into numbers. You know, celebrate podcast number 100 and 200 and, you know, just even numbers. But, you know, numbers are a thing. And I thought, man, if I was doing this, and I'm like, I've been alive 20,000 days. I would have said something. I would have done something. It would have affected me. But that's what I'm doing now. I just love it. So I got my journal. I wrote down today, day 20,173. And I'm going to, you know, that'll be my journal entry. And then tomorrow, day 20,100. To me, again, it's just that reinforcement. You only get that day once. Oh, what's today? It's Wednesday. Oh, there's next Wednesday, last Wednesday, two Wednesdays, 2 weeks from now. June 17th next year. I was like, the day. So, feel free to switch over if you'd like. This is more emotional than I thought. I was all excited to share about being present. But I feel a lot, people. I do feel a lot. And I'm going to end here with a pretty big feeling one too as well. I was training the Morrisons. And I think Ben was getting his award, so we were running a little bit late. And Zen walked in the house, and he comes in. I clean his feet. And I'm like, oh, look, it's Zen. So I brought Zen over to the computer and kind of lifted him up so they could see it. They're like, oh, and they just all fired up. I'm like, oh, I guess you really haven't, you know, seen him. It's kind of like seeing him live almost for the first time. And, you know, they just fire up like everybody does. And that just, like, it just did this thing because I could see them. I'm like, that's how everybody is. That's the effect that Zen has on everybody. So he sits down, or lays down in his bed next to me. And he's just like, always kind of just lays there looking at me. And I'm looking at him. And then I look back at the Morrisons, and they're all like, okay, we're going to start. And I'm like, my heart is just overflowing with how much I feel for Zen. And I'm like, I wish I could explain how much I love this dog. And they're like, yeah, we probably feel the same way about our kids. And in my heart, head, I go, I get that. That's exactly how everybody loves. But I'm like, it's just different. I'm not saying from everybody else, but I've loved family, parents, siblings, spouses, stepchildren. I've loved a lot. I've just never loved like this. So I've never shared this. It's two things that I say to Zen every day. And then I'm going to end. I grab him and I kiss him. And I pet him and I hold his head and I say, thank you for being my best friend. And then I say, thank you for loving me as is. I say that every day. You are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You moment. Glad you're here, stoked you're here. It's a big part of the podcast for me. It's important, and if you're here, continue to listen, deemed yourself worthy, that's all I could hope for. So thank you for being here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs crossed, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. We'll begin to draw that inhale through the nose. Allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow them both down, elongate them. You need to connect your mind to that bodily function, your breath, to control it. You're going to have to stay there to stay in control of it, which keeps your mind connected to your body, which makes you present in this moment, distracted from all else. As anything else enters the space between your ears, kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Bravo. Congratulations. Another successful pro-you moment. I'm just gathering those moments. Another successful moment. Another consistent moment. Another consistent day. And you build upon that. And you get there by being thankful. Thankful for what you have. Being thankful for what you have just really keeps you present. And if you're present, the reward is maximizing those moments. Just a Tuesday afternoon, a Monday morning, Saturday evening. It just becomes the best moments in your life. But if you're caught in yesterday, caught in tomorrow, stuck in this morning, stuck in tonight, you're not here. There's a power in being right here, right now. Just being. Can you sit right now in the quiet alone with your thoughts and be at peace? If not, do all that you can to get there. Every moment becomes yours. Every moment is a gift. Every moment becomes a mini movie with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you're the writer and the director and the audience. Then you just gather these day by day. Live your moments. Live your days. Moment by moment. Day by day. Whether you know it or not, you're writing your story. Right now, you're writing your story. Believe in yourself and know your worth. Peace and God bless.